yesterday's parsha, we find that the at the end of actually the middle of Parshas Mikates. So when the brothers came back to from Mitzrayim, they came back to Yaakov, and they said that, you know, we were told that Yosef had demanded that they bring back Binyamin. So Yaakov Avinu was hesitant initially, to allow Binyamin to go. And we find in Perek Mendez, Pasuk Lamed Ches, that he said, Vayomer lo yerei b'ni imochem. Yaakov said that I will not allow my son to go with you. Meaning I will not, I don't want Binyamin to go. He offered mace, because his brother has already died, the Frank Yosef. The Hula Vado Nishar, and he is alone is left. Excuse me. Ukra'o Osam Baderach Asher Telkubo, and perhaps some accident, some mishap will take place on the road that he is going. That was what Yaakov Avinu's sentiment was. So the Gemara says, the Chazal say, based on this, the Gemara picks up on the fact that it says, Ukra'o Osam Baderach, that Yaakov was concerned that some mishap, some accident will take place on the road. So the Chazal say, Baba Bayis Lo? Is this to suggest that, in other words, apparently what the Pasuk is saying is that if he's on the road, there's a chance something may happen. If he stays in his house, if he stays here, then there's not a chance that something will happen. So the Chazal say, El Mikan She'ein HaSotan Mekatreg El B'Shas HaSachana. So the Chazal say that from this we see that the Satan is Mekatreg, that the Satan creates in heaven a criticism of a person that could possibly result in a misfortune coming to that person. That takes place primarily b'shasa sakon, in a time of danger. In a time of danger, a person is vulnerable, he's vulnerable in this world, but that's because of the fact that upstairs the Satan is mekatre b'shasa sakon. This is what is brought in the Gemara and Yerushalmi, and based on this is pointed to as one of the sources for the tefillah that we have today, that's called the Tefillah Tzederach. This is why when a person travels throughout the ages, a person who goes out and travels was supposed to say a special tefillah, a special prayer, which we'll see in a moment, and this is because the presumption was that this is what the Chazal are telling us, and they see that in this process, because Yaakov said that the concern is that Badera, that on the road something is going to happen to him, which means that there is a particular sakana, and thus we come to our topic today, which is Tefillah Tzedera, and how it applies in our times. Now, what exactly the question of our times is, we'll see soon, but I'd like to begin by reading the Gemara in Brachos and the Brachos in the days, which is printed here on the sheet, and it's quite a remarkable Gemara because of the fact that you'll see here the origin of the Tefillah Tzedera, who started it. So the Gemara says towards the end of the top line, Amalei Eliyahu Rav Yehuda Achva Rav Sala Chasida. There was a person by the name of Rav Sala Chasida, Rav Sala the pious one, and he had a brother whose name was Rav Yehuda, and this Rav Yehuda had the privilege of having Eliyahu HaNavi come to him. Eliyahu HaNavi himself came to him. We have a Mesorah that throughout the generations Eliyahu HaNavi has appeared to people who were held to be very big tzaddikim. And here in the Gemara we find such an account. So he said to him the following things. He said to him, I'll give you three pieces of advice, Eliyahu said to him. He said, first of all, lo sirtach v'lo tzepeti. He said, don't get angry and then you will not sin. Meaning that if you can control, if a person can control their temper, that would remove a great deal of sin from a human being. Because very often when we're upset, a person gets angry, a person gets stressed, and that results in problems. So Eliyahu said to him, first of all, you should know that the key to not sinning, one of the keys of not sinning, is not to get angry. That's number one. Then he said to him, number two, will serve the world sacrifice. You should not drink. You should not become intoxicated. And then too, you will not sin. Meaning that also is a valid, is a worthwhile measure of protection against sin. Will serve before Sechati. Don't drink and you will not sin. Okay, which we should understand as well. And the third thing he said to him was, Ukishahata Yokil Derech, he said, and when you go on the road, he molech the konech to say. He said to him, the third piece of advice is that when you travel on the road, there are a few extra copies here, he said, when you travel on the road, he molech the konech to say. You know, Himalek Bekonek Bitsay means consult, literally means take leave of Konek, take leave of your creator, and then go out. Ask the Gemara, my Himalek Bekonek Bitsay, what does that refer to? Amrav Yaakov, Amrav Chisda, Zut Tfilas Hadar. This refers to the Tfilas Hadar. In other words, Eliyahu HaNavi came to this man and told him three pieces of advice, which we would have to assume means that these are three crucial things. So he said, number one, if you don't want to sin, work on your past. Don't get angry. Number two, is another protection against sin. Don't allow yourself to become intoxicated. Don't become lightheaded. And number three, before you ever travel, kimolek bekonek. Take leave of your creator. Now, what does this mean? How does this translate to Tfilas Hadarah? So here we have a machlokas in the Rishonim, which is the Rashi, unfortunately, is not on the sheet. But Rashi says that it means that the idea of Himalas Bekonis means that you should, like, take Rishus, that you should, you know, like, so to speak, it's like a Derek. Before you go somewhere, you take leave from the one who is the ultimate being. In other words, we'll say to Hashem, you know, look, I have to, please help me, I have to, you know, I have to leave now, I'd like to go somewhere else, and I just want to let you know. That's Rashi's shot. However, the other Rishonim says that it means more closer to what we assume, that Himalas Bekonek means that you should ask for mercy, that you should ask for mercy to protect you from the various things that could come up. So here we have the origin of Tfilas Hadarah is from Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi was the spirit behind it, even though the actual Musaf was composed by the Chazal, but the Gemara is telling us that the origin of it is from Eliyahu. And the Gemara proceeds to say, my Tfilas Hadarah, so just, you'll see here the Nusach that we have today is pretty much in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shetolikeni l'sholom means that you should allow me to go in peace. Satideni means the word, like we just said in the davening, Hamechim mitzadei gavar. Satideni means that the steps that I take should be in peace. Sismecheni l'sholom means that you should support me, you should hold me up in peace. And you should save me from all of the bad things, any possible enemy, or anyone who is trying to harm me on the road, etc. Okay, Bishop Rafa Masiyoga, Sinani Lukhenu Kasarakim, and Nechavani Kogoi, Baruch HaKar Shem Shomayat Tzvila. Okay, so this is the Tfilas Hadarah that we take today. We have, there are various nuskos that we have, if you look in different Siddurim, they add a word here, a word there, but essentially the Tfilah that we say today is in the Gemara, with the exception that what we just said now, the way the Gemara brought it, everything is in personal, everything is the Lashon Yachid. So the Gemara proceeds to say, Amar Abaya, and it continues here into the bottom section, Amar Abaya, Wa'olam L'shatei Finish Nashi Bari Tzibura. Abaya comes along and says that when a person says a prayer, he should not say a prayer in the singular. A person should not pray just for himself, but rather, when we pray, we should say it in the plural, we should say it together with the Tzibur. And this is why, in all of our davening, that we just said, the Shmon Esrei, everything is in the plural, everything is in the plural, everything is in the plural, because the Chazal tell us that when a person prays, he's supposed to pray for everybody. You're not supposed to just say it for yourself. You're supposed to include other people, and therefore, when Rashi tells us here on the top of the page, that if a person davens If a person says a tefillah on behalf of everybody, it's a segula, it's a means through which his tefillah will be answered. In other words, it's a source. I'm not just asking for myself. I mean, there are other people that also need what I need. So therefore, I'm going to say it for everybody. And this is what, this is the tefillah sadeh. Okay. Now, how did this come to our topic today? So the Gemara, if you go down a few lines, the third line actually, the Gemara says, Amos Matzah. The question is, when should a person say this tefillah? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chisda, Mishor Shemahalach Baderech. That a person should say this tefillah from the time that he goes on the path. Meaning, the implication is very clear, that a person should not say the tefillah Sederach before he leaves. But a person should say the tefillah Sederach once he is going on the road. Ad Kama, says the Gemara, until when? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chisda, Ad Parsa. That a person should say it until a Parsa. Okay, now here, this is the key point that I want to focus in on. The Gemara says that a person should say the tefillah ad parsa, to the amount, the distance of a parsa. Now a parsa is roughly translated into our terms today, a parsa is between 2 and 3 miles. A parsa is between 2 and 3 miles, it's 8,000 amos, which is anywhere between 12 and 16,000 feet. And a mile is 5,280 feet, I believe. So therefore it would be, depending on how you hold, it would be anywhere between closer to 3 miles. Now what is the shear of Ad Parsa? So if you look at Rashi here on the right hand side, Rashi says 3 lines from the top. Rashi brings two opinions. Ad Parsa, Rashi says, Avalola Acha Shaholach Parsa. Rashi is of the opinion that one should not say the tefillah sederach once he has gone past that distance. In other words, once you have gone, you've started to travel, you've gone more than a couple of miles from your point of origin, you should not say the tefillah sederach anymore. Okay? However, Ubahad Mefarish, Rashi Green, one of the earlier Rishonim from the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, that he says, Ad kama yivakish reylech sheyehetzarech lisfaloh. That the Bahad says a different shot in the Gemara. The Bahad says that what the Gemara was asking was, how much of a distance does a person have to go in order to say the tefillah sederach? He says tefillah sederach, he's just going down the block. How much of a distance does a person have to go? So he says, to that says the Bahad, that was what the Gemara's question was. And to that, the Gemara responds that afilu eino reylech ela ad parsa. That even if the entire distance he needs to travel is only the distance of a parsa, that is enough to say tefillah sederach. Which means that, according to this interpretation of the Gemara, what Rashi said wouldn't apply. Meaning that, according to Rashi's interpretation, once you have gone this distance, it's too late to say tefillah sederach. However, the Sefer Halachos Gedolos says, no, that's not true. That the Gemara was not referring to that. The Gemara's question was, how far the distance does a person have to travel in order to say it? And to that, the Chazal are telling us that it's the distance of a parsa, a couple of miles, but a person could say it even after, according to this chart, it would come out that a person could say it even after he has left home. Okay. So this shout of the Bahad seems to be the interpretation that was accepted more into the halacha, because if you turn over the sheets to side B, so we have here in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Kuf Yud Siv Zion, so it says, Omer also, the halacha is that a person should say tefillah sederach after shehichzik sederach, once he has started traveling. And the reason for this is, many people say that the reason for this is because if you say it earlier than that, there's always the chance that you may change your mind and cancel the trip, and then it would come out that since you said a bracha, because tefillah sederach concludes Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah, so it would come out that you said a bracha for no reason. So therefore, many people say that this is the reason why you have to already be traveling in order to say the tefillah sederach. There are some who say, the Taz in the Shulchan Aruch says that based on this, if a person was absolutely certain he was about to leave, if you had the car all loaded up and all ready to go, then you could say it even beforehand. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't agree with that. That he says you could, he says that the Eved one could do that, but a Chilul person should start going. But this is our law. That a person has to already be Hukset Bajera. He has to already be on the road. Now, the Ein La Omra says the Shulchan Aruch. That a person should not say it, Elohim Kain Yesh Lo Leilech Parsa. Only if he's going the distance of a Parsa, Avapotus Mi Parsa Lo Yapsum Vibar. If it's less than that distance, then a person should not say the bracha at the end. The person could say it in the tefillah, but you should not say the bracha at the end. A person needs to travel the distance of a Parsa. Why is this? In other words, this seems to be the Baha'i's interpretation of the Gemara, not Rashi's pshat. This seems to be the second interpretation that Rashi brought, that a person has to already be, that the Gemara was referring to the distance, and the distance has to be that you're traveling at least the parsa. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, down on the bottom, says Karton Lamed, the Mishnah Berurah says, Shepokos mi parsa de karakla ir, eino mokom sakana min hastam. Says the Mishnah Berurah that the reason is because of the fact that if you're less than a parsa away from the place that you left, generally speaking, that's not a makom sakana. Now, we have to understand for a minute. In other words, what sakana are we speaking about here? Right, in the times of the Gemara, they didn't have cars and they didn't have airplanes. Right. However, they also didn't have interstate highways, and they didn't have lit roads, and they didn't have police riding up and down through the various roads to make sure that everybody is safe. So therefore, the concern, obviously, in the time of the Chazal, was that the travel was very dangerous for two main reasons. Number one, you could be attacked by a person, and number two, you could be attacked by an animal. That's what we have in the nusach of the Tzvila Tzadar. The guy is interesting because it's not exactly the nusach that's in the Gemara, but in the nusach that we have, we say the Katzilayim, we have for the listen. We say listen, right? That the person that we should be saved from bandits, right? We should be saved from what's called, you know, the classical highway robbers, right? That's where the term comes from, right? That they used to have people that would attack people on the roads, and Chayas roads. Baderek means that there would also be animals. There was no guarantee. You were traveling from one city to the next. Anything could happen. So the Mishnah Berurah is telling us that the idea here is that if you're within a parsa, what the Gemara means to say is that if you're within a short proximity of the city that you came from, so then presumably there's not going to be a sakana, because anybody who was looking to make trouble would probably wait till you were farther out, and maybe perhaps at this point, you know, you could still run back to where you came from or whatever it is. If you wanted to make the hit, the person would probably wait until later on. And apparently, even with animals, it wasn't considered the same concern. So this is what the Mishnah Berurah says is the halacha, and he says that this is why a person should not say it unless he's traveling this distance. And then the Mishnah Berurah continues and says, "In roshem muslik one ba'osam makom shehu makom sakan." Unless the person knows that he is going in a makom sakana. If you know that the place that you're going is a makom sakana, and everybody could relate to this from their own experiences, if you know that you're driving in a very dangerous place, and this is known to be dangerous, it's not just some sort of personal anxiety, but you know this is a dangerous place, then a person can say this feels that there are even less than that. Okay, we'll get back to this soon. But this is what he says. It says in that situation you can say this feels that there, but generally speaking, a person should be a parcel away from the city. And then he continues and says, and this is the last thing I'm going to read for now, he says, the Ein Chiluk Bein Holech B'Sfina L'Holech B'Yabasha, the Mishnah Berurah says that this halacha would apply also if a person went on a boat. In other words, it's not just for land travel, which is something that's important for us. It's also on a boat. And he proceeds to say that if a person went on the railroad, which they had in the times of the Mishnah Berurah, he said a person would say the Tefillah Sadeh. Okay, so there you have it. So a person has to travel, in order for Tefillah Sadeh to be required, a person has to be traveling the distance of at least a parsah, and he has to be outside, and I'm not going to read the rest of it, but he says that if a person not say the Tefillah Sadeh, this is brought earlier in the Mishnah Berurah, that a person should not begin to say the Tefillah Sadeh until he's outside of the environs of the city, meaning that so long as you're in the city, you should not say Tefillah Sadeh. That's mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah of Tes, which I did not read, the one on top of that. He says that a person has to already be in his travel, so not just that he shouldn't say it at home, but he says, if you look at the previous one, he says that when you're in the city, you shouldn't say it. You have to be outside of the city, and you have to be traveling a distance of a parsa outside of the city. And if you look at the mechaber on the top, the last line, he says that if you forgot to say the Tefillah Sadeh at that point, you could still say it, so long as you're not within a parsa of your final destination. And the reason for that, again, is because so long as you're on the road, you're in a situation of danger. And just that the Gemara had said that within a parsa of a city, it's considered safe. So therefore, if a person set out on a travel and forgot to say Tefillah Sadeh, what do I do now? So the halacha is, you can still say, as long as you're not within a parsa, if you're within, let's say, 3 miles of the, if you're driving, and you're within 3 miles of your destination, then already you shouldn't say it. And a person driving here, let's say, to Orlando, or something like that, right? So if you're within, it's a very long trip, so therefore, if it was within 3 miles of the destination, you wouldn't say it, but other than that, you could say it anywhere on the way. Now, This is the halacha. These are the halachas of Tefillah Sadeh. Now, the topic of today's shiur was how Tefillah Sadeh in modern times. There is a shaiwa in modern times which comes up, which did not really exist in the times of the Gemara. And that is the question of what happens if while I'm driving, let's say a person going in a car. So while I'm driving, I have left my town, and I'm driving for 100 miles, but along the path there are towns. There are, in other words, I'm going from, let's say, to take an example of a common travel. A person goes, let's say, from here to Orlando, okay, or from here to Tampa, let's say. Okay, so the person is traveling. So you say, well, I left North Miami Beach. I left the Miami area. I'm on the road. However, it happens to be that along the sides of the road, I constantly see houses. So I'm driving 100 miles, but I have not ever left from within a parsa of any city, because everywhere I go on the side of the road, you have these towns, you have these cities. So what is the din in that case? So in the Bir Halacha, which is here on the top, on the bottom section on the right side, in the Bir Halacha, which is also written by the Chafetz Chaim, but more in-depth discussion of the halacha. So he says that it would seem that since we say that a person should not say the Tefillah Sadeh unless he is going a distance of a parsa out of the city. So the Bir Halacha, he says, it would seem that if that's the case. If he's traveling outside of his city, but he knows that there is another city that is close by, Derech Nesiyah, so along the route of his travel, says the Bir Halacha, he thinks it would seem that you should not say the Tefillah Sadeh, because there's no sakana. Because the fact of the matter is that you're outside, that even though you're outside of your place, but you're near help. Wherever you are, there's always going to be a place you can turn to for help. So he says that on the one hand, he thinks that you should not say the Tefillah Sadeh. On the other hand, he says that one could argue that it seems that once you're traveling that distance away from your town, then it doesn't really matter what else is going on. And therefore he ends up the Tzarachim. He ends up at the end of this that he's unsure. That he's unsure what the dinner would be. In other words, the question is, do we say that, well, you're traveling, you left your place, so you're traveling. On the other hand, do we say that, yeah, you may have left your place, but on the side of the road, there are places to turn to in case of danger. So this, on this point in the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, he is unclear. And this brings us to a very common dilemma which we have. The person today is with the way our cities are built up and the interstate highways, it's possible that a person could drive hundreds and hundreds of miles and always be within range of help, because there are towns and cities that are nearby. And he's not going to any of those places, but they're nearby, and therefore perhaps he should not say the Tefillah Chazara. That is one question which comes up in the modern era. Another question which comes up in the modern era, which is raised by a number of people, most notably by Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that he raised the point that one could argue that today the need for Tefillah Chazara is not necessary at all, because the original Tefillah Chazara was said in a place of Sakana, where a person was traveling from town to town, from city to city, and we can imagine, if you picture it, you know, you look at some of the old movies, right, you see the way they portray it, was that you could be alone traveling totally by yourself, and there's nobody with you. However, today, when you go on the road, there's always traffic, and even if the traffic is sparse, but there are also interstate police. Now you drive from here to New York, if anyone ever had that pleasurable experience of driving with a carload of children from here to New York, you reach New Madrigas when you do such a thing. The fact of the matter is, having done this numerous times, I could tell you that you never really feel that you're in danger. As far as that goes, never feel like you're vulnerable to an attack, because they have interstate police along the way. And sometimes they even come and say Shalom Aleichem to you. The fact of the matter is that might change the issue. That might dictate that, okay, so it's Sakana, not a Sakana. So what's a Sakana? On the other hand, one could argue that today we have a new type of Sakana. Because with the technology, with the cars, and the various modes of travel, then there's sakanas that the Chazal never dreamt of. Because, okay, you're not going to be, if you're sitting in a car, you're not going to be, it's certainly you're not going to be attacked by a wild animal. Right? That's not going to happen. Right? To be attacked or upmanned by a person is still possible. But again, as I say, you have the argument that there are people around. But on the other hand, there are car accidents that happen. And perhaps that would dictate that a person should still say the Tefillah Chazara, even with all of these mitigating factors. And in fact, one could even make the argument that in today's world, if we say that driving a car is something which is a form of sakana, right? Certainly coming from New York, one could very well make that argument that driving is a dangerous type of activity. Even here, I think every year goes by, it seems to me that things are a little more challenging here too. But one could say that you could make the argument that perhaps you should take Tefillah Chazara today, even if you're driving locally. In other words, even if you're going on a local trip, but there's still the possibility. They say, I think, of the statistics that many, many, a very, very high percentage of car accidents take place within a mile of the person's destination. Take place within a mile of the person's home, I think they say. That's the majority of car accidents. Which means that perhaps you could say that, well, if the whole concern in the halacha is that we're protecting ourselves against sakana, so today we have a whole new mode of sakana. We have a whole different mode of sakana. And therefore, perhaps one would think that, so who's to say? Maybe you get on the highway, or even not the highway, you go down some of the street here, people zoom by at very high speeds. Maybe one could make the argument that you should also say the Tefillah Chazara in that situation. So basically, I would just like to say over a few of the points, a few of the different opinions that are out there. And I think we could try to arrive at some sort of understanding, of some sort of consensus. Okay, I mentioned earlier there is the opinion of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was asked and has this in his Svarim, in the Svarim Halicha Shlomo, that he was asked the question. He himself, he lived in Yerushalayim, but he would often travel to Bnei Brak because that was the place where there were many other Degolei Torah. And the question was asked that when a person makes that trip, at what point should they say the Tefillah Seder? He was asked this question by a number of people, and in fact, he was even once discussing this point with Rav Elazar Shach Zatzal, who was discussing with him at what point he himself said the Tefillah Seder. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach paskin that one, he said, in my opinion, you should not say the Tefillah Seder at all in such a trip. And he said for the following reasons. He said you should not say the Tefillah Seder, number one, because of the fact that apparently on that route you're never more than a parcel away from civilization. And therefore, he took the strict side of the Bir HaLacha. The Bir HaLacha, the Chafetz Chaim, was unclear about what the din should be. He said that he's not sure. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, number one, in his opinion, if you're near a yishuv, you should not say it. That's number one. Number two, he said, is that when we drive today, so there are always people around. There are people on the road. You're never alone. And therefore, he said that it's not considered the sakana that the Chazal were referring to. The Chazal were referring to the sakana of a person being isolated and vulnerable. He said today, when a person goes on the road, there are always people there, and therefore, in his opinion, one should not say the Tefillah Seder in such a situation. He said the only thing is, and he was referring obviously to Eretz Yisrael, he said that if one was driving through some of the Arab areas, so then he said you could say the Tefillah Seder even if you were going less than the distance that the Chazal said. Now, even if you're going less than that distance, because there it's a sakana, and there you don't have to go, it doesn't matter how close you are to a yishuv, because if you're close to their yishuv, they're not going to help you. Right? You're in enemy territory, so in a situation like that, he said that it's precious that you could say the Tefillah Seder, but beyond that, in his opinion, you should not say it. So this would sort of, I think translated to us, this would mean that, in his opinion, if a person travels on the roads that we have today here in the United States, you can make the same argument. But number one, often, again, not always, sometimes you are isolated, but oftentimes, you know, or at least in the situations where the trip that you're taking, although it may be many, many miles, is close to some form of city or some form of town, so then, in his opinion, you should not say the Tefillah Seder. And he adds the fact that the Chol, you're not alone anyway, so in his opinion, you really shouldn't say it when there are cars around. So, and at the end of his tshuva, he even considers the fact that the fact that there are other cars and you're not alone should in and of itself be a reason that you shouldn't say it, which would mean that even if you were traveling in a place where there were no towns on the side, but there was traffic, such as if a person gets on I-95 north here and proceeds all the way up to New York City, right? So along the way there are some isolated areas, but there are always cars. There are always cars. So he says that in his opinion, he says he leans to the fact that you probably shouldn't say the Tefillah Seder then either. However, he says he's afraid to say that because of the fact that the Halacha and the Gemara speaks about a person who's traveling on the road, and no one ever came out and specifically made that distinction, and therefore he says that already I can't say. I cannot rule for the public. I cannot say a sock to the seaboard, but a person shouldn't say it in that situation. But certainly if there are roads along the way, should not say. That is his opinion. The other side of the coin is found in the Shastra Vesheva Talevi from Shmuel Vosner, who wouldn't be well today in Bnei Brak, who he said that in his opinion, the Tzilus HaDerech that the Chazal made, even though they were referring to the sakonis of their time, they were referring to bandits and to animals, but nevertheless he said that it's pashut, in his opinion, that the sakonis of our time would qualify for Tzilus HaDerech as well. And therefore he said the person who's traveling in a car, so because we know that it's unfortunately not uncommon that there are car accidents and it could be very dangerous, perhaps even a greater or certainly equal danger to the danger that they had in the old times. So he says that even that today, if a person was traveling on the road, then even if you were near, even if along the side of the road there were other towns, but nevertheless, a person should say the Tzilus HaDerech. And he said, he quotes from the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish said this specifically, the Chazon Ish said that even if there are cities along the way, you should say it. And he says, he brings the exact opposite opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that the Chazon Ish considered that a person should even say the Tzilus HaDerech in his town. Because of the fact that if you were going in a place where people, not obviously not if you're just driving around the corner or on a residential street where there really is not much of a sakana, but if a person was driving on a main street in the town where people go at high speed, so there could be a lot of traffic there, the Chazon Ish considered the possibility that a person should say the Tzilus HaDerech even in that situation. However, the Chazon Ish, similar to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in his approach, said that I am afraid to say that because that we don't find either. In other words, this din in the Shulchan Aruch is only if you go chutz to the ear. To say that you should say the Tzilus HaDerech within your ear, the Chazon Ish said, that we don't find either. So therefore his opinion was that if a person is in his mindset, he felt he was leaning to the fact that even if you were in your even in your own place, you should say the Tzilus HaDerech because of the sakonos of the time. However, he said that he's afraid to say, but certainly if a person is traveling in a car and the person leaves their town, so once you leave your town, you already fit into the gather of halacha, you already enter into the domain that the Chazal put forth, that a person who goes out of his city has to say the Tzilus HaDerech. So therefore, in his opinion, one would say the Tzilus HaDerech even if there were towns along the way. So there we have the two opinions, as I say, to summarize in the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim was unclear on this point, he remained with a question, he said he's not sure, in the more contemporary time, subsequent to the writing of the Mishnah Berurah, so we have the lenient opinion, I don't know what you want to call it, we have the opinion of the Chazon Ish, who said that a person could say the Tzilus HaDerech driving even if there are towns along the way, and we have the stricter interpretation of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who said that a person should not say it unless you're free and clear of any sort of civilization, and even then, as I mentioned, he wasn't so sure that it applied in an area that's police or in an area where there's traffic, but nevertheless, that is his interpretation. In practice, I think we have both opinions. I think that the son of Yesh V'Yesh is hard. We can't really say one is right and one is wrong. You have, obviously, the Dole Olam, each side has behind who to stand by. So therefore, in a trip where a person would be making a long trip, but never outside of the civilization, that would enter into this machlokas, and a person who wanted to say it could say it like the Chazon Ish, a person who wanted to be strict would not say it like the Shlomo Zalman. In practice, many people, I think, do say it. There are people who are very strict with Tzilus HaDerech who don't say it because they put in other reasons also, which I don't want to get into, that they combine a whole bunch of factors that they wouldn't say it. But I think the minute of many people is that they would say it. So that takes care of the discussion on car travel in our time. Now, one other area which I would like to point out, which comes up, a common question which comes up, is the time to say the Tefillah Zederach. As we saw it before, the Mishnah Berurah says that a person should not say the Tefillah Zederach until he has left his city. So long as he's within his city, he should not say it. There is also an additional period once you go outside the town, which is called Yibur Shalir, an additional, in our days would be about 50 yards approximately, in addition to outside the city, the city limits, where once a person crosses over that point, he should say the Tefillah Zederach, but not before. The question is, when does a person say the Tefillah Zederach if he's traveling on an airplane? Okay, now the question is, what's the question? So on the one hand, we said that you're not supposed to say it before you have left your town. So to say the Tefillah Zederach has to be hipted for Derech, the Shulchan Aruch says. That's the words of the Mechaber here on the top of the page. He says, Omer Osaraka Shehirshid Baderach. He has to be already established on the roof. So when you're still home, you're not established on the roof. Now, what is it considered if you're sitting on a runway, of an airport, but the plane is not yet moving? Is that considered Hirshid Baderach or not? Now, the other point that goes along with that is that if you wait until the plane takes off, so there are a number of issues which come up. Number one is that once the plane takes off, so it's true that at that point you will already be outside the limits of your city limits. However, within moments you'll be already the distance of Tefillah Zederach, because the shear of Tefillah Zederach is if you travel a parsa, we said in today's times, is anywhere between 2 and 3 miles. Now, you're supposed to say it before you have traveled that distance. In an airplane, once the plane takes off, in 10 seconds probably, a minute, you've already gone past that distance. In addition to that, there is an opinion which was said many, many years ago. There was a very big guru who lived in Europe, who was known as the Rogachev of Rome. And the Rogachev of Rome, who lived at the beginning of the era of air travel, said that in his opinion, one should not say Tefillah Zederach on a plane at all. Why not? Because Tefillah Zederach. Air travel is not a death. Air travel is not a death. This is what he said. Now, you may say that where in the world did he get that from? So, he didn't just say this off the top of his head, but he has a proof from a Gemara, which is not for now, but he has a proof from a Gemara that the Gemara indicates that something that's in the air is not considered a death. And therefore, in his opinion, to say the tefillah for such a travel would not be valid at all. So, as far as that goes, taking that first, that opinion, I believe, was once widely held. I believe I actually heard this from people years ago in New York. I asked a rabbi, and he told me this is not, and he said in the name of Rav Gadol. However, I think the contemporary practice is clearly not that way. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in his Sefer very strongly. He says he doesn't understand how he could say that. He says, what do you mean it's not a derech? It wasn't a derech when they first came out with air travel, but now that everyone goes with now we have a derech on the sky. So it's not a paved road doesn't mean it's not a derech. Right? What does he do with the raya that he brings? It could be argued, it could be debated, but the fact of the matter is that the consensus of opinion is that a person would say it on an air travel. However, as I say, the question is, when should you say it? When should you say it? So here again, I think it comes down to how you interpret the halacha exactly. Those who say that you have to say that you're supposed to say it when you leave the town, and it doesn't matter today, for the record, one could make the argument to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that airplane travel isn't dangerous, and therefore you could say that this doesn't qualify for what the Chazal said. The Chazal were worried about a person, you know, being attacked, right? Baruch Hashem, you know, today's time, except for obviously a very famous, a few famous incidents, but other than that, 99.9% of the time, right, there are no, a person gets on a plane and feels safe and has no worry and it can be taken care of and you're protected, nobody will harm you on an airplane, it doesn't happen, right? So one could make the case that in such a situation, one should not say it. And in fact, there are people that hold that. There are people that hold that. They say, over, I saw this fact that this is brought, I believe, in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, that Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, who used to travel every week from Boston to New York to say shiurim, would not say the tefillos haderech on the plane because he said it's not a sakana. He said, I'm not in a place of sakana. The sakana would be if you're in somewhere where you could be attacked. You're not going to be attacked on a plane. This is what he said. However, here again, the consensus, I believe, that the minhag ha'olam, you can't say right versus wrong because it's unclear, all of these areas are unclear. The minhag ha'olam is that people do say it's still sederek on a plane. When exactly is the time to say it? So there are those who say that since you're supposed to say it before you have traveled that distance, so therefore here, you could say it while the plane is still sitting on the ground, because once you're on the plane, the whole issue of being hipster Badera is that you're not going to change your plans. Once you're on the plane and they've closed the doors, you're not changing your plans. Right? At that point, you can't get off, and it doesn't happen, and therefore a person who's at that point is going to definitely travel. And when we take into consideration that the alternative might be to miss the real time to say it, there are those who say that you should say it, you could say it even when the plane is sitting on the ground. Others, or more medactic, would say that once the plane starts to taxi towards the takeoff, so then already, you know, that would be perhaps a little bit of a better time to say it. And there's a third opinion that says that if we're concerned about sakana, then the sakana of being on an airplane does not begin until the plane is in the air. You're not in any danger at all when you're sitting on the runway. So therefore, there are those who say that this is also in the case of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that the person should not say it's still there until you're up in the air. So you have the various opinions, right, and on this point, again, there are different minhagim. It's difficult to say anyone is right or wrong because there are people who hold by each one. But, you know, this is the practice that we have with the tefillos haderech. But it's important to realize, as I said at the beginning, that no matter what the case may be, if you didn't say tefillos haderech at the right time, you could still say it. As long as you are not within a parsa of your final destination, you could say tefillos haderech. A person should not think that I missed it. This is clearly stated in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Even though there are Rishonim who don't agree with that, it's Master from Rashi that he would not agree with that. The consensus of Nahawaka is that a person could say it. So when exactly is the time you have a difference of opinion? Well, Maisa, once a person starts to travel, he could continue to say it until he reaches his final, until he gets very, very close to his final destination. There is another topic in the halacha, which is late, maybe for a different time, which is what happens if your travel goes over the night, if you're traveling on two different days in the halacha, whether you have to say, if you said it feels there at the beginning of the trip, you have to say another one the next day. Maybe we could save that for a different time. But al kopanim, if everything is said and done, what comes out from all of this is that there is the consensus of opinion is that in our time there is, even though we have a strict opinion of several people, but the consensus is that even in the modern era where there is a much greater degree of safety that we have because of the fact that we have a lot of built-in safety and we have police and we have paved and lit roads and all kinds of things, nevertheless, the consensus opinion, I believe, is that we should still say the tefillos haderech, And we should just bear in mind that the origin of this tefillah comes from Eliyahu HaNavi, who said that this is, when he gave someone advice, he said these are three important points that you should remember, and this being one of them. So we should appreciate that we have today the ability to travel in many different modes, but a person should not forget to thank Hashem and to be mispiral for the situation that he is in.